Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Have you ever considered and thought about the importance of prayer? I can remember so many exhortations that came forth from Brother Pike when he was here as my pastor and I was there working with him. Things wouldn't be maybe going exactly to plan or as well as we was hoping for them to be. And he would always exhort us, "Did you, brethren, pray?" You know, and so oftentimes we would take off doing things, leaning to our understanding because maybe it was something we've already done before, something that we knew how to do. And we didn't need to pray. We can handle this. We can take care of that. Oh, what a mistake. The Lord has a way in so many things, and He has a way of getting a man's attention. He has ways of doing things to catch our attention. And when we think of the supernatural intervention of God, we normally are thinking about the way that maybe He's blessing us or helping us or doing something in the way, and He is and does. He moves, again, as I started to express, in supernatural or miraculous ways in times that you might not even be aware of it, to prepare something to take place ahead of you, to move something before you, that He could bless you, can make things happen. I can remember expressing to you times about the blessings of God. And you know, so many times we have these ideas about how God's going to bless us. And I can remember saying things that people would think, "Oh, it's foolish," or, you know, or I don't see the way you think or don't agree with you or whatever. And that's all okay. But, you know, we talk about God knowing the number of hair on your head. I could tell you He knows how many times that 15 or 16 inch tire on your car runs around. If you ask Him how many revolutions is this tire made, He could tell you that. And you say, why would He be concerned? Not saying that He's concerned about it, but He knows everything. Now, you might have a problem with that, to think, well, how would He be around calculating this? Well, the same way He could take a camel and stretch it out a mile long and run it through an eye of a needle. 5 miles long. Brother Pike's expression was all the way around the earth. He could do a lot of things that is beyond your comprehension, beyond your understanding. But I can tell you that He knows that. Brother Chuck and I was just fellowshipping, talking about the Lord a little bit one day. He said, you know, thinking of that, He knows how many raindrops have hit the earth. You think about that for a minute. I'm saying these things to get you out of the way you think. And this would seem so impossible to you, but God makes the impossible things possible. But see, it's nothing to God. So, you know, in speaking like this, you know, when we think of God again, we think of is His intervention and things, you think, well, you know, rotation of how many times the tire's gone around. But now think about Him blessing you because you've blessed Him, because you moved in His behalf, because you were concerned about His business, because you was concerned about His things. Now God is looking towards your things. So you say, well, how's He going to bless me? I looked at my mailbox and I didn't see a check or I didn't see this. But how many rotations did you get out of that tire? And when He's looking to bless you and take care of you, He might increase a few more rotations out of them tires. Maybe a couple less doctor visits or none at all. I think of Brother Steve Beachy being 52, 3, 4, 5 years old. First time ever gone to the doctor. Never been to a doctor before. You think, that's just unreal. That just don't make sense. I know some of my kids never saw a doctor, never been in a doctor's house till they went in to have a baby. Don't meddle now, Brother Rob, you might say. But where's the blessings of God? What is the blessings of God? How is He blessing you? You know, as I say, He can add longevity to an engine, tires. I remember saying this. How many times does that tube of toothpaste fill up that toothbrush? So if God's blessing you and God's blowing on this man, and this man don't even think about it, but he's went through 3 tubes of toothpaste to year one. Amen. You say, well, I think this is crazy. Let's get into the gospel. I'm just talking about God. Amen. I'm talking about the Bible teaches not to despise the little things. And I'm telling you that most people got these big supernatural ideas and things, and they're praying for these great, great, great things, and they never really understood God down in the little things. You don't think, well, He's not going to be messing with that. Well, if He has time to count all the raindrops that's hit this earth, I think He's got time to be taking care of maybe how many times your tire goes around. Well, let's talk about something more important. Do you think He knows how many times that old heart's beat? I bet you He knows how many times it skipped the beat, too. I'd get your attention real quick. You let that thing start skipping a few. Well, God's got your attention. Usually you'll start talking to Him a little bit. Oh, God, help me. Oh, Lord. I hope it doesn't take things like that to talk to Him. He's talking about prayer. Well, how do we pray and what do we pray about? When do we pray? The Bible says often. continually, always. These are terminologies we find in the scriptures when it talks about prayer. Continually, often, always, without ceasing. So that pretty much answers the question. Prayer should be something continually. You know, there's many times you could have a spirit of intercession going on within you while you're in the presence of somebody and they would never know it. And there would be something in your spirit that's intercessing with the Lord. Somebody could be talking to you and the Spirit of the Lord is intercessing for that individual and what they're talking to you about. We're talking about a wonderful God. You know, me as a man, if I got two people talking to me at the same time, I got a problem. I'm either really paying attention to one and shut one off, or I'm trying to gather a little bit of both of them, for I could maybe do both of them some good or help. But I found for some way or another that you could be talking to me and the Lord could be talking to me, expressing what you're trying to say. Now, how can he do that, but it's not capable for you and somebody else to do that? I'm just talking about God now. Why can God make one man and put perfect peace in his heart over a circumstance, another man in the same circumstance is totally frazzled, totally unraveled, totally unglued? But why can one person take and walk across a 12-inch wide board, 20 feet in the air, and walk across, got his tools on and everything, don't even look like he's looking? Another guy's up there, man, you can hear his bones rattling and his knees banging together. What is the difference between those two men? And you put them both down on the ground walking and they seem to walk the same. They seem to go along the same. I thought we was talking about God, you might say. Well, now I'm talking about a state of thought. Well, could you get that same state of thought that the other man had? Could you? You sure can. Have you ever watched somebody in their element and they're relaxed? Talking about a relativity to something. One man walking across a high plank. Another man cutting into a man. What is the difference between that man and the other man? I know we started out talking about a wonderful God, but now we're bringing this wonderful God that gives a state of mind into this individual to comprehend or to take care of something, and another individual just seems to like, you know, and I know we got scriptures, the Bible says abide in your calling. Wait on teaching to teach, wait on preaching to preach, there's different things. And I do know that people have gifts and talents and things that God's given them and blessed them with, where they could do things where somebody else couldn't. I used to go in the nursing home and I'd say, man, this isn't no job, this is a calling. And I really believe that. I think it takes a special person. And I find sometimes people out of their element that don't need to be there because they don't know how to treat people in a sickly condition or a sickly way. They don't know how to deal with them. They're cruel and mean to them. I think that's why I say I think it's a calling. It's a gift. It's ability. We're talking about a wonderful God here. We think of the wonderfulness of God, counting raindrops, counting hairs on people's heads. Does that make him wonderful? I'm saying these things for a reason, because you need to remember that God's mind and your mind are totally different. His ways and your ways are totally different. And the way he performs and the way he does things. There's been things that and this is somewhat where we started out speaking here, but there's been things that I've been, I guess I could say, blessed with an understanding on to how to do or to accomplish. And I watched God blow on it, my ability, my skill, because my attitude wasn't right. I know none of you have ever had an attitude problem with things of God or with people or with anything. And you say, what do you mean your attitude wasn't right? Well, if a man gets puffed up, do you know what that means? When a man's puffed up? When a man thinks too highly of himself? When a man says, let me show you, step aside here, man, I'm going to show you how this is done. It's a great thing for a man that has a skill to say, sir, let me help you out here and let me show you how this is done, if you see a man having a complication and your spirit's right. But if you do it out of a projection way that you're going to show, I'm going to show you, and then God blows on it, and all of a sudden you're standing there looking like some kind of a lame-o. The only difference between me and you is I might be honest about it, and you might still be trying to hold some kind of a great kind of thing before people that you're just somebody special. Again, back where we started at, I was expressing there's times that he's there doing things for you and you never saw it, you never witnessed it, you never even thought about it. And he spared you or added longevity to you. He might have added an increase to how many squeezes on that toothpaste, how many times that tire went around. You know, when you think of giving and God giving back, and you think of just not robbing God and giving tithe unto the Lord and say, well, you know, how does this come back to me? But as again, as I testified, I had children and went to the doctors to have children, never had seen a doctor. And think about the thousands upon thousands and upon hundreds of thousands of dollars that are spent going to doctors. What are you against doctors? No. I know one of the best. one of the best physicians that ever was. But sometimes, talking about prayer again, sometimes we fail when he's right there and we're in his office all the time and we go to another. So is God blessing us? Is he cursing us? Is he adding an increase to our substance or is he blowing on it? What about time? Have you ever seen the blessings of God on a man's time? I know I have. I've seen God bless our time that people would marvel at the amount of accomplishment that was done with the blessing of the Lord on time. When you say, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. I set forth to do this. And I'm doing this under the Lord. And this is the amount of time that I'm planning on doing this in. And I could also speak to you about having a pastor standing down there watching the day star set. He goes, there goes again. Brethren, what have you done for the Lord today? This life being like a vapor and a mist and it's here for a moment gone, I think we need to be a steward of time. There's things that we could launch out into and we could be missing some of the simplistic things of God by so far. So if God is counting raindrops, tire rotations, and hairs on head, I would think he's got time to intervene in any of my affairs, in anything that I'm doing, and everything that I touch. And I don't think it would be wrong if I'm to be in prayer without ceasing and continually and always and often. I don't think that it would be wrong for me to be talking to him about my daily doings and activities and desires and wants. And how often do we wait until the complication, the problem, the tribulation in it before we start asking and talking to him about it? It's sad to say that, you know, if we step outside the realms of the spiritual world and we think about many times as men, we wait to get help after things have gone so wrong. And then it makes the one that knows how to resolve the problem, who just made his problem much more complicated. Amen. Thinking back of spiritual thought, I've had people that really had a desire to win a soul or to help somebody or to talk to somebody about the Lord. And they find that they're not accomplishing what they want to accomplish with this individual. It could be a work acquaintance. It could be somebody that there's a timely aspect involved because they're going to be around them a certain time. It might be a family member that's in town for a month or a week or a day, whatever it is. So, man, I'm going to get the preacher to help me. And by the time you get the preacher, sometimes things are so messed up that it takes the preacher too long to unravel it that he won't be able to do anything. And you say, what are you telling us? And we're better off to keep our mouth shut? No. We're talking about prayer, aren't we? Sometimes we fail to pray. Sometimes we speak to people again, and the speaking that we're speaking isn't so much concern for their soul, but sometimes we want them to know what we know. Not in the thing for they'd have the knowledge that you have, but for they would have the understanding that you understand more than they do. Now, I know we've talked about this before, but this is a very common problem in the realms of witnessing. I've watched it over and over and over again. When you speak to people, you got to look for a receiving. Spread out upon the waters and you wait, see if it returns. What does that mean? If it comes back unto you? Sometimes they could be looking at you, nodding their head. Oh yeah, yeah, praise God. But if you're looking beyond the veil, you'll see if there's a connection there. And if there's not one there, then it's not going to do nothing for them or anyone. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Do you know what a seducing spirit is? I think we all should know that. I could talk in natural dimensions, and you know what seduction or somebody that would seduce somebody, if you looked at it, in those things, but in the spiritual realm, so much more involved in that. You know, many times when you think of a seduction or seducing or somebody being seduced like that, that so oftentimes they don't really realize the magnitude of what's taking place in their life or happening. You say, how are you going to go to that when you were speaking about prayer and talking about how many revolutions my tire went? Are you going to be able to put that together, Brother Ron? I sure could. Because so oftentimes, we're so busy in our mind and our thoughts that we wouldn't think about the counting of the revolutions of a tire because there's been something that has seduced us in such a way that we don't even think or consider or ponder or look or even put one iota of thought towards that. Did anybody say, think, am I a steward of my time today? Did anybody even ponder a thought like that? Did you pray anywhere in this day today and think, Lord, I'm out and about today, I know I'm working and stuff, but if I ask you to raise your hand, how many of you went into a convenience store today? How many went into a grocery store? How many went into a parts store? How many went into a hardware store? How many went into a clothing store? How many went this? And I can guarantee you that somebody made contact with people today. If I would have maybe said that, who made contact with anybody today? Now let's think about the people you made in contact today. How many of them are on their way to hell? Say probably most of them. You might think that, but did you ever ponder or think about it? Did you ever think what you could do to make that man think for one moment about the Lord? Is there anything you did that would make him consider or ponder? I'm preaching to myself here too. I didn't have a gospel track in my pocket today. Confession, huh? But what about souls and winning souls and talking to people about God? Where are we at? What have we done? What's God doing? Wonder what he was up to today. I think he was busy. He was counting tire rotations and counting hairs on heads. I don't think he had time to do anything that was important. Have you ever had a word of knowledge before? I'm talking to every single person in here. Have you ever received a true, genuine word of knowledge from God? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and say, oh yes, or thus, us, and us. But let me tell you about a word of knowledge again for just a second here. That all of a sudden there's a knowledge that's come to your conscience mind of an understanding, and you have the answer to something that you know that wasn't put there by your own means, by reading, by studying, by hearing, by any way. It didn't come there, but all of a sudden you have a knowledge of something that has come to your consciousness that you know something. It don't have to be something complicated. You know, like, I might not know your birthday, what date it is and what month and what year. But if your mother told me, then I'd have a knowledge. And if somebody said, hey, what's your birthday? I'd say, well, it's such and such day, month, and year. But if nobody ever told me and all of a sudden I have this knowledge, it's come to me. If somebody said, what's your birthday? Hey, there's a knowledge. It's there in my conscious mind. I wasn't thinking about it a moment ago, but now it's here in my conscious mind. This is my birthday and I can say the day, month, and year. But I'm speaking about a knowledge. Now the thing is that I might have studied or read something to obtain a knowledge. But now if I'm here and all of a sudden a knowledge is in my conscious mind, how much time did it take me to go get that and find it or this and that? Okay, for instance, Brother Rob, what's your wife's birthday? Well, I've been rehearsing this over and over and over and over. No, it's calculated in a subconscious area where it's not right there in my conscious mind. It's not in my mind. It's not in my thinking. But it is there, just like that. Come forth out of the subconscious and bam, it's in the conscious and I can tell you what it is. It's not an effort to pull something from the subconscious to the conscious when something has been stored there. But now that subconsciousness there and the supernatural intervention of God takes and puts information in that subconscious area that when you need it, it's right there for you. Now you can call that supernatural, you can call it whatever, however you want to express it, but it's a gift of God, of a knowledge. So now here's what I'm saying. I do not know how many hairs on Brother Michael Dunton's head. But now, if somebody said, hey, how many hairs is on his head? And all of a sudden, there was a figure that came in my mind of a knowledge that the Lord put there. See, it wasn't no effort for me. Just like if you said, what's his birthday? And I knew that, and I spoke it. And the same knowledge perspective. I know this sounds foolish to you, but I'm just trying to explain something simple about God to you. Now, that's not a problem when that thought comes. Somebody said, man, I wish you would quit wearing me out. Why did you ask me this? When you know it, it's not wearing, just tell them, hey, this is the information he asked for. So if the information was required to know the number of hairs on the brother's head and all of a sudden it's there, it's a knowledge. Now we're talking about God. You see, it's not complicated. If you ask God, he's not going to run count because he's all-knowing. He knows everything. It's not an information that is going to require him some sort of effort because it's there. Just as if a knowledge came to me about something I didn't know, it didn't require an effort from me. All of a sudden it's there. This is the way God is now. Are you starting to understand God a little bit? So why would we ever think for a moment that we would be opposing, so to speak, on God if we ask him to intervene in some of our affairs? Let me ask you about knowledge now that we're talking about knowledge. Do you realize the importance of knowledge? Well, you know, we think of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, knowledge really caused a lot of problems, man. It was a knowledge. Well, there's some truth to that. Sin's not imputed unless there's what? A knowledge of sin. So do you realize how big of a role knowledge plays in everything in God? That sin can't be imputed to you unless you have a knowledge of it being wrong, a knowledge of it being sin. And when you have a knowledge, then it's sin to you. So now, when we think of knowledge, and we have this unction from God to have a knowledge of all things. An unction. It's there. It's in the Spirit. A knowledge, a knowing of all things, everything. Right? From God. Amen. You know, there's people that will make an application and press to obtain a knowledge. And they'll press and press. And then another person that's not looking for it, but they're just, and all of a sudden it's granted to them. Talking about the blessings of God now. And we're talking about the power of God, the supernatural intervention of God. I've had things revealed to me about the Scriptures and the Word of God that came so clear and unveiled to me that I don't know how long it would have took as a natural man to press and dig and get concordances out and do this and that and talk to theologians and go over this thing that God just gave to you. I don't know, maybe you've never had that happen. Wouldn't you think it was something that if all of a sudden you needed some sort of knowledge that you knew that you've never obtained to get and it came right there in your thinking? But let me say this to you. What if you needed to know something just as simple? Now we'll go to Google and type it in and we get a knowledge. Hey man, Google knows everything. You got it right there all the time. Talking about knowledge and understanding. And just pow, there it is. It's right there. But I'm talking about you now. And you got this receptor up here in your between your ears that is pulling information. You know, you're not pushing buttons, you're not finding anything, but I can say, what's your middle name? And all of a sudden it came to you. You know what it is. And it's there. It comes out of this computer bank and it brought it up into the conscience thing that you could see it. Now you know what it is. You can speak it. But see, you wasn't thinking about it there a moment ago. But you tapped into it. How much effort did it take for you to do that? What year were you born? How many of you had to make an effort to think about that? Now, I know some of us have to, like, hold on, let me see. No. But how much effort did it take you of thought? How much did it take for that knowledge to pop in your head? It didn't, did it? So how complicated is it for God to put a knowledge to you? How complicated is that? It's not complicated for Him to do that. It might be complicated for you to believe that He can do that. And you might limit Him from being able to do what He could do because you've limited an unlimited God. I know that when I talk about the revolutions of a tire, the number of hairs on the head, I'm trying to talk something that you can think about, but you think, why would I exert to find such a knowledge? It seems to be so needless. How many sparrows have fallen today? And He knows that, He says. Do you know how many sparrows have fallen today? Pray to maybe another predator or an animal or even died. But God knows that. So what I'm saying, these things are effortless to Him. And receiving a knowledge is effortless to Him. But then yet we'll give so much time to struggle through the carnal senses trying to learn and to receive a knowledge when it's something that God can simply just add to us just like that when we need it. So what are you saying, Brother Rob? Do we need not to make an attempt to learn? No, the Bible says study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed. But then yet I find another passage of Scripture says don't take no thought and just go there before Him and He's going to give you this understanding and knowledge of what the people need at that time. So which one am I going to go with there? Which one am I going to utilize? Which one am I going to do? I'm going to do both. What happens when the circumstance arises that here you are and you need to be able to perform? Can you draw on the supernatural? Have you tried to draw on the supernatural? So if you had plenty of time to study and to be this workman, get into Scriptures, and then you come before the people with this presentation out of an understanding, you might leave God out. Is it wrong to do that? Is it wrong to prepare to be studied up and read the Scriptures? And no, not whatsoever at all. It should be. That's the way it should be. But then on the other hand, if you're yielding to the Spirit, He might go totally another way. 100% another way. So what about knowledge? Think about you now. Don't think about me or your brother, your sister, your friend, but you. How much of your life have you invested in seeking after knowledge? But there's a twofold thing here. I got a cousin. She's one seeking after knowledge, and she's got so much knowledge, she's slap ignorant. Now, does that make sense to you to have so much knowledge that you're absolutely ignorant? Do you realize that you could get so smart that you could reason God out of the supernatural and He will not be able to move for you supernaturally? Because you've got so much knowledge that you've got it all worked out and you're going to go this way. And that's when God will supernaturally intervene and step in and blow on your ability and your skill and the things that you're trying to do. For he can say, you know, you're going about this the wrong way. I can take you to the Word of God and Scriptures and prove this to you, what I'm saying. And show you how God did things absolutely, totally different than the way man would do it. I've talked about it numerous times from the sacred desk here. Numerous times. If God was going to move his people across the Jordan, why would he wait until it was at flood stages and the river overwhelming over its banks and overflowing the banks and in flood state? Okay, now it's time to take so many millions of people and walk them across here now. Why would he do it that way? You know, listen, God, let me help you out here a little bit. I happen to be a very knowledgeable man now. And this isn't a good time, sir. You know, the water is up over its banks. It's flood stages right now. Why don't we wait until let this rain goes down for a few days and let this these rivers come back down in their banks? It'll be a lot easier to cross. But why did God choose to do it then? You know, let's wait for the drought to come back in. Lord, we can walk across, step on the stones, go right across. But why did he choose to do it that way? Why does God intervene sometimes in people's life when there's sickness, disease, and life-threatening things? Why does God smile when the doctors say that they can't do anything for you? Why does he smile then? Because you've exhausted your ability. You've exhausted your skill. You've exhausted your finances. You've exhausted everything to your five senses, the means of that. And now God could show you something from a supernatural perspective or a spiritual thing, or bring an invisible thing into a reality, an understanding, or faith into a substance. Are you with me? Amen. I know I've done a lot of talking here tonight to make such a small, minute little point here. But you know, sometimes we get so carnal and so vast in our thinking, and we're just thinking so much that we're not hearing. My dad used to say to me as a kid, he said, son, God gave you one mouth and two ears. You're supposed to listen twice as much as you talk. How many times do you think I heard that? But what about you? What is prayer? Is prayer talking or listening? What would be the most valuable prayer? Is it one that's prayed or one that's heard? You say, God, save me. And salvation might be him speaking, we'll turn right here. And he might have just saved you from a tragic event in a half a block. So what was more important, the prayer saying, God, save me, or hearing the right turn? They're both very important. How often do you pray and talk to God and ask him to intervene for you, but you didn't tarry along in your prayer long enough to listen for the answer? How long does it take to get an answer? Is his timing your timing? What if God is trying to teach you patience? Then how long is he going to wait to give you the answer if he's trying to teach you something? Think about yourself as an instructor. How are you going to deal with somebody when you see a weakness in their area to get them to do that? Do you realize that when there's a weakness in an area of a man and you're an instructor, what are you going to look for? Are you going to keep on dealing with him where he's good at? Or are you going to go to where he's weak at and be working on that? Two men boxing and fighting, you know what that other opponent's looking for? He's looking for your weak area. He's looking where you don't have a guard at. He's looking where that weakness is at, and he's watching you. And that's where he's going to break through. So, where's the instructor going to work with you at? We're talking about God now. What is your weakness? Do you have any weaknesses? If you don't have weaknesses, you won't know God's strength. If God's going to show himself and show his strength in your weakness, then you wouldn't know the strength of God unless you come to a point of being weak. Is that true? He's not going to show you his healing ability unless you become sick. He's not going to show salvation unless you were damned or doomed or lost. So we see God showing himself in these things. But when we're strong, when we have no need of him, we're wealthy and we're rich, have no need of anything, then where does God add in that? Does God like us to be in need? If you're in a place that you're not in need, do you realize the need that you have is to put yourself in a place of need? Now listen to me. If you're in a place without need, you are in need to put your place in a place of need. Sounds like a lot of needing. Now how would you do that? Well, let's talk about need. What if you're in no need of finances? Boy, Brother Rob, you sure picked the wrong place to go there. Do you realize the need that you have to give to put yourself in a place of needing God that he can give back to you? Now, the thing is this. If I'm not in a financial need, then I'm in error. Because whatever kind of finances, I don't care if we're talking $100 a week, $1,000 a week, $100,000 a week, or $1 million a week, I should be in need. Because there's need all around this world. And that if I'm sensitive and listening to God, I am going to be taking whatever has come to me and I am going to be utilizing it for the needs of others. And I'm going to be in a continued need, no matter how much. It don't matter if it's 100 a week or 1,000 a week or 1,000,000 a week. I'm going to be in a continual need because I'm going to be utilizing what He's put at me in just a bigger magnitude. Are you listening to me? Do you think He wants us to get to ease in Zion or to the easy place and we're just kicked back? I don't think so. And this is where we don't grow in God. This is where we're not fulfilling the potentialities of a Christ-like life, is because we walk in the elements in these realms of comfort without pressing and putting ourselves in a place of need. So I'm saying you got to put yourself in a place of need. You don't have need, everything's fine. You don't have a prayer life. Maybe you'll have a prayer life because you have need. So when you have needs, you find yourself needing to talk to Him and pray to Him. And in the need of praying to Him, then you have a need to listen to Him. And when you found this need to listen, then you got the solution or the answers to the need. And then you'll be fulfilling and walking with Him. And what is this doing for you in this particular time? This is bringing you a strength and faith. Because without faith, you're not going to know Him nor see Him. You're not going to please Him, and you'll perish, because it'll be imputed to you as sin. So faith, if we're going to have faith, we're going to be putting our faith in something that we have a need of. Now think about it. I got faith in salvation. I needed saved. If I have faith for a healing, it means I was sick and needed something, and I said faith, so I had a need for healing in my body, so I said faith for that need, and that need became a substance and a manifestation as an evidence in me, and I received it by a need. Okay? So now the thing is that if we're going to operate and learn to operate in the realms of God, we're going to get beyond the realms of the five senses of what's natural and what's obtained right here. If the only knowledge that you're dealing with is a knowledge that you've obtained through the five senses, then you've never stepped into the supernatural knowledge of God, the spirit of knowledge. The Bible said this speaks about the spirit of knowledge, spirit of wisdom, all by the one and the same spirit. It talks about tongues and interpretations and prophecy, all by one and the same spirit, faith and healing, all by one and the same spirit, discerning of spirits. These things are all one by the same spirit, but there's a spirit knowledge that if you haven't utilized to the fullness your knowledge and come to the place that you fell short, and if you are only operating in your knowledge realm, then you've never expressed or stepped into the supernatural to need the spiritual realm. Natural, but when you get to beyond the natural, then it's going into the super. Superman did things that you couldn't do as a man. Is that right? Looking at a little cartoon on Superman. What did he do that was different than you? He could see through walls. You remember that? He could pick up things that you couldn't because he was a Superman. So we talk about you a natural man, but you need spiritual intervention. So you become a spirit man, a spiritual individual with a spiritual strength, a spiritual sight, a spiritual knowledge, a spiritual wisdom, a spiritual understanding. Now that's going to supersede the darkness of man's mind, the darkness of carnality, the darkness of man. It's going to supernaturally go beyond all that. Is that correct? Now think about it, brethren. So if you're only operating in your thought life, and you're only operating in your dimension, and you're only operating in your realm. Now you remember when we started talking, I said, I'm talking to a doctor that's sitting next to me, wide-knuckled. He was out of his realm. Talk about a guy walking across the board, shaking, scared to death. He was out of his realm. But let's get in God's realm for a minute. This perfect love, if it cast out fear, could it cast out the fear to walk across that board 20 foot off the ground? Could it do it? Yes, it can. And I've applied that and I've used it in my life. I thought, why am I giving place to this fear? Brother Pike, the Lord was letting him experience things. And he said that this spirit of this cosmophobia, I may not be pronouncing that exactly right, came on him. And he said if God didn't intervene and help him, he felt like he was going to go totally out of his mind. I remember when he was expressing about this, he said, well, do you have that? And he said, no. But God allowed that spirit to come on me for I could understand it. You take somebody that's claustrophobic, you can't put him in small places, confine him, put him in rooms and different things like that. Pastor said, man, this thing I was going to go out of my mind. And he said, I started calling on the Lord and rebuking this thing and it departed from him. He said, or he would have went out of his mind. Why did God allow him to partake of that or taste of that or see that spirit? And another person doesn't have a problem with it at all. Next time you're in Washington, D.C., go into the Smithsonian Space Museum and look at that little thing that they shot those guys out there in space in those early years of the space capsules. Some of the early Apollo missions and stuff. I looked at that little thing thinking, you want me to get this and go to Greensboro? You know, we're going to probably have a real argument and a fight here. But I'm thinking, you putting that thing? Oh, I ain't got claustrophobia. You stick me in that thing? We're going to be dealing with a problem. But why was they able to get in there and close the door and light this big candle off and shoot them up there into this outer space? But why could a man strap himself in that and another man says he's claustrophobic? State of thought. Wide-knuckled doctor? Shaking because the airplane shaking? But then yet you put him over there and he takes a knife, another guy passes out and hit the floor. I watched the guy pop my dog's eyeball out and I hit the floor. What's the deal? Could I overcome that? Sure I can. I already done some of that. I've overcome it. I helped glue your finger back together, didn't I, Ed? I was overcoming it. There's been times I've watched that and I could feel it rise up, man, get nauseous feeling. Anybody ever have that happen? But why is another guy not affected by it? We're talking about supernatural. You know, you're wanting the blessings of God in your life. You're wanting supernatural things take place in your life. You're wanting God to change you from fleshly to spiritual flesh, spirit man. And you're wanting all these things to happen. But we better start understanding them in some of these simplistic things that we go through on a daily basis in our everyday walk in life. And we better get a communication of fellowshipping and speaking to Him. Talking to Him every moment of every day. And listening for Him to help us and talk to us. So now, again, talking about these different spirits. Brother Pike said that this thing came and he overcome it. So now the Lord allowed him to partake of something or to taste of something for he could understand and have a knowledge of it. Have any of you had that happen to you? Maybe it wasn't with claustrophobic thing, but maybe it was with something else that the Lord allowed it to come on you. I've had the Lord allow certain things to come on me that I could understand it. He took me into I don't know whether to call it a vision. I've shared it with you before. You know, sometimes they use the term of a trance. You know, what's the proper term here? Well, when you're wide awake and you're in another dimension, so to speak, I don't know what you want to call it. When you're awake, consciously speaking, heard Brother William Branham talking about some experiences he had when he was awake, open-eyed, and seeing the Lord. Said that he even bit himself one time because he thought that, well, maybe I'm asleep. Maybe this. You see, maybe you think that sounds foolish to you, but maybe you've never been there. I have been. There's things. When we're speaking about understanding the spiritual world and the spiritual realm, and there's things that you could start doing in your daily activities to start being partakers of that world. And if you don't exercise it in these little simplistic daily activities, what's going to happen when you really need it? And when do we start applying it? And when do we start utilizing it? Okay, I'm going to talk to you as contractors for a minute. How many times have you done a job and really done a nice job and really done and went beyond call and duty and done a very good job this and that, and you found out the customer was nothing but a flake? I know none of you have never had this problem. And you suffered the wrong and walked away and didn't get paid. Have any of that ever happened to any of you? I know it has. Now, you could have chided with them. You could have fought with them. You could have went to the court stuff. You just suffered the wrong, walked away from it. Said, hey, you know, you can live with this. I can live without it. God bless you. Goodbye. Love you. Smile at them and go on. It's not because of your error or because you didn't do something right. They were just wicked people. Now, let me ask you this. Now, we're talking about knowledge, a supernatural knowledge from God. Do you realize that He knew that this was what was going to take place before it happened? Can anybody dispute that? Do you know that God knew that this was going to take place? Now I'm going to talk to each and every one of you toward the measure that you're at right now. How many times have you had something check you? Does anybody understand what a check in the spirit is? I think most everybody knows that. I mean, people without God even know that. My mother, I raised up in a heathen home, and they used to call this mother's intuition. I haven't even heard that terminology. Does anybody believe that mothers have intuition that are lost? My mother had spiritual gifts in her life, and I never even heard her say the name Jesus in my home. But do you realize that she had spiritual gifts in her life of a gift of knowledge? But because they didn't understand the Bible and the Word of God, they would say women's intuition? Not guessing. Brother Pike called discerning of spirits in some people, he said, the gift of suspicion. There's a difference, I'll promise you. So if we could see that this knowledge of understanding, if you were talking to God and praying to God continually without ceasing and always, then you were praying to God and you're exercising this knowledge, you might come up to a job and you need work. Now, let me tell you, this is where you press over the supernatural intervention of God, because you're in need and you need work and you don't get this check in your spirit. Something don't feel right here and you press over it. But you needed work, but now you need it even twice as bad. You know why? Because now you went out there and worked for a day or 2 days or 3 days or a week maybe, and you're not even going to get paid. So now you're in worse condition. So would it have been better? I'm breaking it real simplistic here. Wouldn't it have been better to listen to God? Have you ever been in a situation where you're speaking and the one that needs to hear what you're saying is the only one that isn't hearing what you're saying? Have you ever been there before? I don't know. Sometimes I'm trying to go way down here to get so simple and simplistic, and I'm really taking my time. Brother Pike, I'm going to go back to him for a moment and say some things that he said. He said all of his brethren left him. He said all of us did. I loved him, man. I mean, it tears me up in my heart to think that man could have a testimony that I've departed from him and left him, and I did. But to say why we did, and this is what his expression was to not just Brother Rob Coons, but to all of his brethren, he said, you all pressed over something. But he said, we pressed over our conscience. Now, I ask you a moment ago about a check in your spirit. If you want to be honest with yourself, there's going to be times that you know you went on and got involved in something that you didn't have peace about. How many have been there? I didn't feel right about this man, but you know, Bob, because I was in need. Now, you remember me testifying. In fact, in the first week or two or month that I was up here pastoring the church, I just came up here and just getting started up here trying to get a church. I went over here and I started working. And the Lord spoke to me as clear as I'm speaking to you right now. And he said to get away from him. And I said, well, Lord, I'm going to do this one more job. I didn't get paid for it. The man lied to me. And the man just slapped, cheated me out of $1,000. And you know why I didn't confront him on it or go and press him? I could have went to the man and pressed him and got my money and confronted him, because God was chastening me because I pressed over. I did what he told me not to do. And I said, Lord, I'll take that as a chastening, as discipline for my disobedience. Now, we're talking about conscience. We're talking about a word of knowledge. We're talking about God speaking. Now, there's different measures of discernment. I say, have you ever got a check in your spirit? You didn't feel right, but you didn't know why you didn't feel right? Now, I'm going to take you somewhere. I'm going to take you to a very familiar place to most of you. There's been times that you met somebody, and it was something that didn't bear witness in your spirit. You didn't feel right about something at all, but you let the smoothness of their tongue override this feeling that you had. There's something not right here. That when you get that, it doesn't mean you're cruel. It doesn't mean you're mean. It doesn't mean you're ignorant or that you're unfriendly or ungodly to them. You're saying, wait a minute, God, you're showing me something here. You may not know what that man's problem is or that woman's problem, but you know that there's a problem. You might not know the magnitude of the problem, but you know there's a problem. So you have to deal with them accordingly. But many times they're smooth with their mouth, and they will speak and they'll talk. And then when you compromise this check, this something you wasn't comfortable with, and then you'll find out what the problem was. Now, has anybody ever been there? Like, well, I didn't feel right about this interview, but I pressed over. I let them con me a little bit or smooth talk me a little bit, and then all of a sudden I got ripped off, I got stolen from, I got violated, I got cheated, I got this and that. Now, has anybody been there? Just please raise your hand. We've all been there. In different measures, some of us might say, hey, I lost the thousands of dollars. Another, it could be something very simple. We're trying to talk simple here this evening about listening to the voice of God and the mind of God and yielding to the Spirit of God. Now, when you get that little check in your spirit and you cross over it, and then you do it again, and you do it again, then you wonder why you don't have the depths of knowledge working in your life. It's because why would God give you any more when you're not being obedient to the simplistic parts of it? When you know that you've pressed over this, and you found yourself in trouble, when my pastor said, you've all left me, because we crossed over our conscience, and we had a man that took us into a meeting once a week. I've been involved in the sales business and was trained in sales, direct sales and things like that. And we'd have motivational sales meetings once a week. But we had to have them every morning, because we were being steered away from the mind of God, the will of God, and the purpose of God, and the plan of God, to man's will, man's motivation, man's desire, and man seeking his own. And it took a meeting every single morning to stir us away from the mind of God. Isn't that sad that we were yielding to such a thing as that? Now, I know you could sit here and look at me and think, well, you poor, pitiful thing. But I look at you and observe your life and watch the same familiar spirits, seducing spirits, doing the very same thing to you in many times in many cases. Seducing spirits. I'm trying to keep it very simple tonight. The Lord's purposed me to do so, and I'm trying to say some things here. If I'm trying to teach somebody something and they already know, I have a difficulty. Do you realize that? I have a very, very big difficulty because I'm trying to teach somebody something that they already know, but I know that they don't know. Anybody ever been there before? But it's difficult to teach somebody that they don't think they have a need to know what you're trying to teach them, and you won't teach them. So saying a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. So what am I saying now? Sometimes we go to God and we pray. People ask for prayer because they have need. And they do truly need supernatural, for expression's sake. I know I keep using that word, but and they need true supernatural intervention. And they really are sincere. And I mean they are sincere, super sincere. And they'll call and request and call upon you and the brotherhood for prayer. But in many cases now, their spirit is so fast, even in the request, that they can't receive the answer or the solution to their request. I used an expression about a man that his spirit was so fast, it would be like he was going so fast that he couldn't receive. And he really wasn't listening. He was asking, and his mind was going to the next thing so fast that I couldn't get him. I couldn't reach him in many cases. In the perspective that I feel the infirmity and the travail in the spirit, I feel the need, true, genuine need in the spiritual realm. And been requested on numerous occasions to pray over need. But then yet, I find that in the mind of God, that these things are taking a course for a positive perspective. The Bible said all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, right? All things. And sometimes things can seem so terrible. And this individual feels this way, that where are you at, God? I've been good, I've been faithful, I've been honest, I've been straight. I've exercised everything to my ability, to my skill. I've done this, I've done that. Man, their spirit is going so fast of all the things that they've done. They've done, 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 they've done. And I've been, I've done, I've done, I've done. But then yet when it gets right down to it, they never slow down enough to ask God and allow God to show, to move, and to do it. They're too fast in the spirit. So what is in that kind of a situation now, tragic or catastrophic, or what is persecution or tribulation? What is suffering in that situation? What you would look at as suffering is not what God looks at as suffering. It's different. The way He looks at suffering is a positive thing, because the results of the suffering is going to produce something that you need. If suffering ceases you from sin, sin is something that if you don't get away from or out of, sin is something that will put you into eternal damnation. So you don't like suffering, but suffering is a positive thing in the mind of God, because the result of the suffering is going to get you to cease from sin. So do you see how God would look at suffering different than you do? When you're in the suffering, you're looking, oh God, why? Why are you letting this happen to me? You know, the Bible talks about reproof and rebuke, and it's grievous for the moment, but what it yields forth afterwards, the fruits of righteousness. It's grievous for that moment, but what it's going to yield forth is something different. It's going to be something good. This is the thing that we as parents, or you as parents, and different things raising children, you find that yes, this is something you got to do because you know what the fruit of it's going to be, and you have to chasten your children. You have to. God has to chasten us because He loves us. But I find people going through some things, and they, in the midst of going through the things that they're going through, they've questioned God. Why haven't you moved in my behalf? Why haven't you moved in my affairs? Why haven't you done this for me, Lord? When the Lord is the one to put you there. This is the first revelation you need to come to. God is the one that put you there. God is the one that allowed you to be there. God is the one. There's people sitting in the sanctuary tonight that have asked the Lord and prayed and different things, even about discernment. And God couldn't grant it to them. They don't have the kind of spirit that is capable of handling discernment. Because I watched their spirit anyway, And when certain things naturally happen to them, they get out of whack in their spirit. So how would they ever be able to handle a supernatural discernment and keep their spirit right with God and man? They couldn't do it. It'd be impossible for them to do it. They couldn't do it. And God will never grant that gift to them because of that, but they desire it. But they can't function in and work in it because they haven't got out of the way and learned to suffer in the things of God. The amount of time of suffering, the amount of time of tribulation, the amount of time of chastening, the amount of time is questionable to the individual that's being chastened. Number one, if a mother or a father brings a chastening to a child because of a disobedience, well, how long are you going to ground me for? How long are you going to make me stay away from this activity or whatever? Well, when the parent sees that they've really received the exhortation or the judgment or the chastening or the discipline, and they really sunk into them and they took it to heart and they see the true genuine repentance of it, then the parent could make the choice to restore the child back to the thing that was removed from them. That makes perfect sense. That's simple, right? Okay, now let's talk about, with that thought in mind, about God, because there's some things that have been taking place for a matter of months and years. There's been crying out to God and asking Him, why? Why can't you do this and this and that? But even when have sought after counsel and sought after prayer and godly counsel from the ministry, they're seeking after it with closed ears. And they sometimes speak to express, and it makes them feel good because they've expressed the need, but they never slowed down in their spirit long enough to receive the solution. When I said the amount of time that a parent would put the child into chastening is something dependent on the reception of the child. And now I've just expressed that some things have taken place for months and into years, and it's because the problem is still laying there because they've never yielded to the thing of God to realize what's needing to be done. Now I could really go into some thought now after saying that. Now that may not mean anything to you, but thank you, Jesus. Amen. I remember expressing here that the 40 years in the wilderness, when you get into the allegories and time and what times and numbers and things have to do, it had to be that way. The 40-year wandering didn't have to be 40 years if they would have went straight to the mark of where they were sent forth to. And there's people that are going through things, times and seasons, that aren't necessary if there was the proper yielding. Okay, I'm going to express it this way: education, knowledge. One person might go to school for 4 years to get the same knowledge that another one that applied himself got in 6 months, and he progressed and went on. We've had kids that were very brilliant in their mind and they was able to excel right through things where another kid would struggle at it. What's the difference? The perception of the knowledge. So let's talk about chastening of the Lord. The perception of the knowledge of what God's trying to get you to receive. Do you realize that the thing is it's a state or a knowledge of an understanding is why this chastening is there? Because you're being chastened to get the knowledge of what you need to know. Do you realize that? That's the only reason God's chastening somebody. Because He wants them to get the knowledge that, hey, that's wrong what you're doing. So now that you're getting this knowledge that it's wrong, then you change and remove the wrong. Is that correct? You get the thing out of the way. You remove it out of the way. When is God going to intervene for your supernatural need? When is God going to intervene for the place that you're in that you need supernatural intervention at? Where is this place at? And when is it going to come? When is you as an individual where this thing is maybe there, maybe stopping, maybe hindering or whatever, when is this going to depart and go away? It's when you come to the knowledge of why it is all there. Do you understand that? The time in it is because God is not going to move. I'm going to back up when I was in rebellion against my pastor. Okay? I'm going to back up to that time. And I was praying. Believe me. I was praying. And as I was praying, I was asking the Lord. I said, Lord, I've drawn nigh unto you. I've resisted the devil, and why isn't he fleeing? And the Lord said, I'll never flee. He says, Satan will flee, but he said to me, he said, I'll never flee. And I thought, wait a minute. Because I was taking and looking at this. Now listen to this. This is going to square it up here tonight. I was looking at this thing that I thought was Satan hindering. I'm not talking about my personal endeavors. I'm talking about we as a company of our group endeavors. And we were all giving and sacrificing and making major sacrifices. I'm talking about is a group of men have been trained by a man of God to sacrifice. I could tell you about the brethren of Little Bethlehem who were taught and trained to sacrifice and to suffer. So then we were sacrificing and suffering in a way, but we was in because of rebellion to God. Now, if we could suffer and enter into sacrifice and suffer and being in the will of God, but this particular time is because we were in rebellion to God. The suffering somewhat felt the same. It looked the same. The sacrifice appeared to be the same. So I'm thinking that the enemy had come in and was really fighting what we were doing. And I'm rebuking and praying and things. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I'll never flee. I'm thinking like, wow. I'm trying to get Satan to flee because we have a blockage. But the blockage wasn't satanic. The blockage wasn't Satan. It was God. He was standing there stopping what we're doing. Now, I'm going to tell you this, that I'm not the only individual now that has many times had God hindering, stopping, blowing on the things or doing this that you think it's the devil. You know, when the Lord spoke that to me, I changed the course of my direction. At that particular time, I said, wait a minute now, whoa, this is a whole different thing. I was putting my strength and endurance and endeavoring in the mind of God, in the mind of Christ, that He could give me the strength to endure the hardship. But then when I found out that the hardship wasn't the enemy fighting, it was God, and I was kicking against God. And then I thought, whoa, wait a minute, I'm not going to do this no more. Then things changed. Why? Why did things change? Because I received a knowledge that I was doing something that was absolutely wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I received a knowledge in a simple little state of knowledge. It took God 3 seconds to speak it to me. And it changed my whole outlook and my direction of what I was doing. Bow your heads with me for a moment. I want to pray just for a minute because I'm going to close the service. So I'm going to make sure that I got clarity from the Lord to do this. I know it sounds like I've been speaking riddles up here, but I've been expressing some things very clear. If there was some perception. Bow your heads, please. I want you to pray with me just for a moment. Most gracious Father, oh, mighty God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, Lord God. And Father, as we stand here this evening, Father, as a brotherhood, oh, Lord God, I know this brotherhood loves you, Lord, and they want to please you, and they've walked in your statutes and your ways and the ways that are pleasing unto you. But Lord, as we stand before you as a brotherhood praying together, Lord God, right now in the name of Jesus, brethren, I'm asking you to pray with me. Just for a moment. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Father God, I ask you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, I ask for understanding and revelation, Lord God, to be granted. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, knowing that there's a direction, Lord God, and a change needed, Father, right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father God, we ask for an openness and an understanding to go forth right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God, that they will bring a peace. Oh, mighty God, a peace. Oh, mighty God, a peace. Lord God, to help and to strengthen. Father God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus to move, Lord God, in the midst and in the behalf, Lord, of this need right now in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As we get ready to change the order of the services, the brethren come back to the platform. I'm going to speak a couple things here in closing thought. One time I was sitting in Brother Pike's presence and there were some things happening. And he said, Brother Rob, what if you die tonight? What are the bill collectors going to do? And that may not sound like any kind of a statement. You think, well, what does that mean? Why would he speak that to you? But he spoke by the revelation in the mind of the Lord to me something that changed my entire outlook on life and what I was doing. And I was being pressed by something that wasn't God. Brother Chuck sent this passage of scriptures up here. This is fitting. Let me back up a couple scriptures. I'm going to go all the way back up to 2 Corinthians 4:11. Let me read this for you. It says, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Delivered unto death? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Do you realize this is what it takes to get the life of Christ manifested in your mortal flesh? So then death worketh in us and life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes. Listen to this. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's the passage Chuck brought up, but very fitting, absolutely. Thank you, brother. Let me read that again. For our light affliction, you know, sometimes what the word would express light affliction, and we think that we're really going through the affliction, you know, sometimes I'm thinking, I've had people come to me just broken in their spirit and tore out of the frame, and, oh, you know, Brother Rob, and it's like you look at it, you know, like you take a little child, little baby sometimes, you know, and it's like, man, this is so burdensome. You know, and they got a little 10-pound weight. You know, I can think of my little grandson trying to carry something that you wouldn't have no problem. You know, a little tiny boy, you know, carrying something. And boy, this is a burden. Well, and when you get in God and find strength in God, the things that perplex some people and seem to overburden them, it's because they haven't drawn, again, on that spiritual, supernatural realm of faith. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. I mean, the fruit and what it's going to yield forth for you, this little complication or perplexity or thing that you might be going through, it's nothing compared to what God has in store for you to bring, wants to yield forth a reward for you for the thing. While we look not at the things which are seen, now listen, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Big revelation right there. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing a song or two, and I'm going to ponder here for just a moment. So oftentimes there's a knowledge right there that's attainable and it's within grasp, but we grasp at the wrong thing and grab the wrong thing, when the thing that God has is right there, but we grab at the wrong thing. The very last scripture that I read there is we don't look at what we can grab, but we see, we need to look to see what He can grab in that unseen dimension. And then the perplexity of the tribulation or persecution or the suffering could be resolved and removed and taken away. The situations, whatever it may be, God is there. He's in the midst, He's moving, He's manifesting, revealing and showing things. In the perilous times or the times of trouble or sufferings that are very needed for the eternal glory, amen. As that final scripture there, passage that we read, sometimes we can question the suffering, but then yet the end of the matter is so awesome and what it brings forth. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I could apologize to you tonight. I know that some of you here think that I was in a wilderness. Not at all. I was taking my time this evening because there were some things that needed to be expressed and the Lord gave me the clarity. And some of you will never know nor perceive nor understand. But there were some things that were said and went forth. I give the answers of a revelational need in some lives. Amen. And that's okay. I made a statement to Brother George that took me maybe, I could express it to you. But I remember the short statement that I said was probably the number of words I could count on both hands. And he said, Brother Rob, he said, you're accountable for that. And then he made a statement outside of my presence that he said it would change my life. The revelation that I got, that I could say it in 10 words. And to hear it, if I expressed it to you right now, you think, well, there's nothing to that. And I know that's exactly what you would think. But you see, I saw something not that the audible expression, because I'm not even going to speak it to you, because the audible expression, what I'd say, you'd think, well, that's simple. There's nothing to that. But there's a revelation of that same thing in the invisible realm, the unseen realm, in the unaudible realm, that is so expounding to half a dozen words. And he knew that God gave me a revelation of it. When I spoke it, it didn't sound like a revelation. It didn't sound like nothing great, but he perceived in his spirit what God had opened up to my understanding and eyes. See, you could say, thou art the Christ. Thou art the living Son of God. You think, oh man, I got the revelation. But you could speak that and never have the revelation of that. Peter did. And the Lord knew that he did. But it wasn't because of the expression of what he spoke. It was because of the thing that he saw in the invisible realm. So what if I spoke this in the audible realm and it would be something attainable to your vision and natural thing, you would think, well, that's really no revelation. It isn't in that realm. But when I spoke it, the brother knew that I seen beyond the veil and understood what that was. And it opened up another page of understanding to me in the way I look at mankind, humanity, and this world, and the way I deal with it. So what was it, a personal thing for me? Yes, it made me accountable to an understanding. I struggled tonight to not to speak. I struggled tonight not to unveil. And I struggled tonight not to express. Because when God wouldn't allow me, it's not going to come that way. This individual's got to grasp this particular thing to get out of this place that he's in. I know that there's been times people want me to speak what the will of God is for them, and I knew exactly what it was, and God wouldn't allow me to speak it and tell them that. Because if I spoke it to them on the path of God, when the tribulations and things come, they're going to think, man, that preacher missed God. Because most people think that the paths of God are peace, yes, but they're not always smooth. They're not always smooth. Man, I'm on that straight and narrow way of the Lord. There's potholes in it. I think his road is nice, super wide highway, man, paved and smooth, and boy, everything's fine. No, that's the wide, broad path that leads to destruction. It's pretty smooth, though. It's cruising, man. Cruise control, man, kick back, air conditioner blowing, everything's going. But that straight, narrow way, sometimes you find yourself as that soldier. Amen. All right, let's sing All Praise, and we're going to close the service. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He's a good God, amen, an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. We'll get Brother Chris to come up and dismiss us. Keep us in prayer. Pray for the needs of others, amen. Seek the will and the counsel of the living God, amen, and talk to him. Ask him to lead you, guide you, and direct you. Ask him that he'll help you to grow in his grace and knowledge and understanding. Pray that he would grant unto you the spirit of revelation and reveal to you and open up the utterances from the eternal glory. Amen. That you can walk in the ways that are pleasing unto him. Amen. That's my desire. Hallelujah. I love you. God bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.